Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
I want to read for you today from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. And confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message: "After me comes the one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This passage in Mark, recording the appearance of Jesus to John, when John is announcing that Jesus has come and he is baptizing and preparing the people to get ready for the Messiah. The people of God had been waiting a long time to hear somebody say what God was going to do in their lives. A long time. It had been 200 years. 200 years of wondering whether or not God still cared about them. They hadn't heard about God or from God in a long time. We hear about God's love often, usually it's about every Sunday. Forgiveness is a part of His character. He's always ready to receive us when we'll return to Him. Because of Jesus Christ and who Jesus is and the assurance of His Spirit that's been poured out on His church. I mean, this is a part of the theology of God we hold on to. Yet before Jesus, before we held on to that truth, God's opinion about how the world should operate and how He felt about it and how He wanted His people to live would be revealed by one primary means. Before Jesus, it was through the words of the prophets. You couldn't really know whether God was going to save you from a situation or your family or your nation unless a prophet had spoken directly concerning God's opinion of you. Yeah, there are still priests in the temples and stuff who mediated and helped you offer forgiveness of your sins and stuff, but there were prophets who were uniquely qualified and seen by the people of God to speak God's word for their nation and for their people. And the people of Israel were in a prophetic funk. It had been 200 years. They're in totally unknown, uncharted territory. That word of Isaiah, "I'll send my messenger ahead of you," 200 plus years ago. Malachi, Hosea, all those prophets, long, long time ago. 200 years since God had spoken through any of His prophets. They are in their own wilderness, their own kind of wandering. What is God going to do now? It's been a long time since they've heard from Him, wishing that someone, anyone, would speak authoritatively about the will of God in their life so that they would know where they were and what they were supposed to do right now. And I suspect some of us perhaps have been there, wondering, wishing that someone would let us just know where we're supposed to be going and what we're supposed to be doing. In a moment when it seems like, oh, I don't know where I am and I don't know what's supposed to happen. I remember my time in the wilderness, quite literally, actually. Actually, it was a moment in my youth that helps me, probably contributes to my love of outdoors right now and hiking right now. My family and I had just moved to the Milwaukee area, and I started attending First Church of the Nazarene there. There was a man named Randy who asked me if I wanted to go camping with the youth group and with some other adults there, and I thought it would be exciting to go and make some more friends with the other teens. I just moved to the area, and so we went up there, and I don't remember the name of the place that we went to, but he gathered us, and he took us to this camp, and we pulled in, and we had our tent set up, And I remember that second morning we were there, we all went hiking. We took some paths and we went hiking along the way. We saw numerous caves, little caves to explore. And I remember one cave we walked by was a little bit off the path. And so I told the group, hey, I want to take a look. And they waited for me a moment. And I climbed up the hill to the cave and realized it was nothing more than just like a small recess into those rocks, right? And so on my way down, I slipped on the morning dew. And I kind of rolled down the hill, but the hill stopped at the path. But I rolled through some poison oak because my right arm received dozens of small bumps that just itched worse than anything I'd ever experienced before and anything that I've ever experienced since. I mean, it was just constant. All I could do not to touch that. Later that afternoon, we were all back at camp, and a friend of mine and I said, hey, let's go back along the path. That was kind of fun. So we asked for permission, and the path wasn't that difficult. It wasn't that hard. And they said, sure, go along. But whatever you do, just stay together. And yeah, if you want to go back there, feel free to do that. And we'll be having dinner in a couple hours. And so we went back. And you would think that, so we went back on that path. And my arm, of course, is still just itching as bad as it ever had before. And as we were going along, we found another new cave. And I thought, hey, this could be exciting. Let's go look at that. And so we went up and we went to that cave a little bit off the path. And after we got out of that one, we saw another little cave. We said, hey, why don't we go over there? Now you would think, now my arm is still itching as bad as could be. And you would think like that was a good like forewarning, right? Of what happens when you stray too far off the path and what could happen. I didn't think about that at that time. And we just kept trekking through. And I had this like new t-shirt too, but through crawling through those, I mean, it was just covered with dirt and grime from going through those. But we just kept going for one after another. I mean, we felt like bona fide Lois and Clarks. We were on an expedition. We are charting new lands, previously unknown territory, it seemed, where our group had not been before. But after a while, our stomachs told us it was time to get back for dinner. And so we decided to turn around, only to realize that we disagreed about the way back. And before you knew it, as we were arguing over, well, we got to turn here, now we got to turn here, we were turned around and we were lost. And we walked around and around and around looking for the right way. And all we saw were more trees, more hills, and more of those infernal caves opening those entrance mouths that at once was beckoning and now seemed to be laughing at us for our folly. And the sun is starting to descend below the treetops, and we knew we were in trouble. We had no clue where camp was. Tears are starting to form in my friend's eyes. I mean, he is panicking. He is losing it. His breathing's really quick. He's like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what we're going to do. He's losing his mind. I'm trying my best to remain calm, but we're surrounded by nothing but trees. My feet were sore, my stomach's growling, and my skin is still just itching terribly. I'm like, what are we going to do? And I wanted nothing more than someone to come out and say, Tim, you crazy lost kid, go that way. This is the direction you're supposed to be going. And I was actually praying that God just like reach down from the heavens and just like show us where to go. It was a literal wilderness for me. And we all have moments in our life where we know that without a direct hand from God that we are absolutely lost. That we need and are yearning for God to move and do something because we know in this moment we're lost. And this is the moment the people of Israel are in. Imagine, I mean, they have not heard, they have not seen, they do not know what God's going to do for them, and everything that's happening to their nation, everything that's happening around them is new, uncharted territory, and they are wondering how God is going to act now. And so imagine their sigh of relief when Mark tells them that there is a prophet among them, a guy named John. A prophet that was prophesied about by a previous prophet, a well-respected one. And this is no ordinary man. This is the herald for the Messiah himself, the Messiah who would be known as the embodiment of God. I mean, just take a look at John the Baptist, the way Mark describes him. He's clothed in camel hair. He's got a leather belt. His appearance is a whole lot like the most popular of all the prophets, Elijah. If you look at the story of Elijah, this is exactly what he wears. He is a wonderful prophet. He's just the man they're looking for. Elijah was like seen as one of the top prophets, someone who was really close to God. And so John is this embodiment of the ideal prophet. But what about Jesus? You notice here that Mark doesn't begin his gospel with the birth story. It's one of the only gospels who doesn't do that. He doesn't tell us about the birth narrative. He doesn't tell the story of the shepherds or the wise men like Matthew and Luke do. There's no cute baby in a manger at the beginning of Mark. There's no angel singing his praises. But this isn't because, of course, it's not important or Mark forgot. It's just that I think for Mark, he knows that the point right now and where Israel is right now is they need to hear the story that we are not ready to hear about the Jesus who comes unless we are prepared to meet this Jesus, unless we are prepared to receive the Messiah. They need, in this moment, John the Baptist, because they've been wandering in the wilderness for so long that they've forgotten how to hear the voice of God. They've forgotten how to put their lives in line with God. The people hearing this gospel weren't ready to see the Messiah, and so John the Baptist comes on the scene reminding them of the words of Isaiah that they must prepare the way for the Lord. This Sunday, we remember that we are preparing the way for the Lord. The first Sunday of Advent, last week, we lit the candle to remind us that Christ is the one who was prophesied about. And this second Sunday of Advent, we remember that we must prepare to receive Him. And so I ask you today the same question that would have been asked by John to all those who are gathering to be baptized. Are you ready for the Messiah to come? If Jesus comes again soon, are you ready? This Christmas season, as we prepare ourselves to celebrate the birth of Jesus and to remember that, are we prepared to meet this Jesus when He returns? He will come again in the flesh, and the truth is, the Spirit of God wants to come and work in our lives and work with us even today. Are we personally ready to receive this Christ? Sometimes when we wander off, we wander about on our own, and when this happens, we close ourselves off to the Word of God. We stop hearing His voice. And like I suspect the Israelites would have done, we start asking ourselves, well, why? Why has it been so long since I've heard God? Excuse me. And so we continue in life saying, where is He? Does He care anymore? When the truth is, we aren't ready to receive Him. We haven't prepared. We haven't put ourselves before God because we need to hear the voice of one who's going to tell us how to get ready for Jesus. For us, the message is simple. The way out is actually easy. Sometimes it's closer than we think. When my friend and I were wandering in this wilderness arguing about where to go, we started getting louder and louder in our arguments. It's kind of natural, you know, when panic sets in, that you start disagreeing with whoever's closest to you. When you're worried about how things are going, you start to get nervous, you start disagreeing with whoever's going to hear and just let you just, you know, you just want to let it all out. And so we were just arguing back and forth about which way to go and what we were going to do. And at one point in time, he says, you know, I heard a car in the distance over there. And where there's a car, there's a road, and we'll take that road back to the camp entrance and we'll get there. And I thought to myself, I don't know how things echoed. I don't want to go chasing after the sound of a car. Are you crazy? I just want to get back to camp. And so we're arguing and we're fighting over what we're going to do and where we're going to go. And you know what? Not 50 yards away, someone heard us yelling. Someone heard us arguing. And they turned around from some little... you know, gathering of trees or whatnot, something that was hiding the path. And they peeked their head out and they heard us yelling and they said, what are you guys doing that far off the path? Come on over, the path's over here. And we were like, wait, what? Oh, thanks. And then we just, you know, just kind of like did our best to pretend like we hadn't been lost for the last however long we had been lost. Those hours felt like years. Can you believe it? We had been wandering for hours, and at the height of the panic, the way back was so simple. It was just right before us, and it was easier than we had ever imagined. And John says to a group of people who have been wondering and looking for and hoping to hear God and hoping in a season like this to say, wondering, okay, where is God? He says, he's a lot closer than you think. And the way out is a lot closer than you think. And he starts with this. John, you see, when he talks about Jesus, who's coming, he says, this Jesus, I'm not even worthy to be his servant. I'm not even worthy to come and mess with his shoes. I'm not worthy to clean his shoes. I'm worthy to help him get ready. I'm not even worthy to be near him in that way. This is John saying he's not good enough. John realizing, I fall short. And so it is a word of reminder for us in our lives who say, well, I'm good enough, or everything's okay, or I'll just squeak by, or I'll just make it. Even John, a prophet of God, would not say that. He says to us instead, we are to prepare ourselves by repenting and turning to Jesus. And he says, I am preaching a baptism of repentance. So a way for us to say, okay, I know where my path, I know where my life hasn't lined up. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to God and ask for forgiveness. And I'm going to wait for this God to come and to bring this forgiveness. You see, because what he does is he says, in order to prepare for what Jesus is going to do in our life, we have to go to him and say, okay, Jesus, I want to see you, and I want to repent of the way my life has been without you. You see, it is as easy as repentance, as easy as saying, okay, God, I know where I've messed up, and I bring that before you today and ask for your grace in my life right now. To think that it's as simple as asking for forgiveness and asking for God's power and God's spirit in our life, and that is it. It's as simple as if the path were just a few yards away. It is, John is saying, come be baptized for into this repentance of saying, Lord, I want my life to be honoring to you and not just the life that is lived for me. And he says, this baptism I give, he says to those who are asking, it's just with water. It's just a physical symbol by which people say, my life is going to be turned over to God. But Jesus comes with a greater baptism. Jesus comes with the power of his Holy Spirit to actually enact the changes we hope God will do in our life. And so when we say, God, I give my life to you, and we say, God, I'm sorry for the mistakes, I'm asking for your power to live free of those past sins, it is his Holy Spirit that then comes into our lives and helps enable that. And so our call to us today is prepare ourselves for this Christ. This season, as we're getting ready, we're preparing for what's going to be a festive holiday. We're probably, whether it's with our immediate family or with our extended family, where we know this is going to be a time in which we are celebrating and remembering Christmas. Then we might remember this Sunday and this season also that we need to prepare ourselves and our lives for the God who wants to be involved in our lives. And we do that through repentance, and we do that through commitment to God. One of the ways in which we have been invited to step into that together is through the Bible study, a little handout that you get in your bulletin or that you can print off on our website online, the little handout that says, hey, 4 days a week, these are some scriptures that we can walk through together, to spend some time in prayer together and say, okay, how might these scriptures speak to me and speak to my life today? And I wonder if in doing that we might find that there are areas indeed, as we ask questions about those, that we might say, oh, how does this speak to my life today? And we might find areas in which we can say, okay, God, I need to confess this and repent from that as well. And trust that God's Spirit will indeed come and do and work something new in our life. Mark chapter 1 is a chapter that begins a very simple description of saying, whatever wilderness we find ourselves in, whatever situation we are in, to know it is specifically into those kinds of situations that God likes to break into. That is when Jesus came into this world. And that is where we need to invite Jesus to help in whatever situation we find ourselves in today, because God isn't finished yet with us, and because Jesus is still at work. And it is my hope and it is my prayer that wherever we are today, wherever we most need Jesus to break in, that indeed we would be able to turn to God in trust and hope and just say, okay, God, here it is. Maybe it's been a while, or maybe we've heard that Jesus is coming, And Jesus wants to do something, but we just haven't seen it yet. And just be able to go to Him and say, okay, God, wherever You lead, I'll be faithful to You, and I'm going to trust that You will work. Whatever wilderness we might find ourselves in, and trust that indeed there is a Savior who is with us, who will lead us through. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this morning we are humbled to be able to be in worship with You. Humbled right now, Heavenly Father, to come before You. And Lord, it is my prayer and it is my hope that we would be able to see that You are still on the move, to see that You still want to work in amazing ways in our life. And Heavenly Father, we may not know what that looks like. Lord, I know for each one of us, that's going to look a little differently. You're going to speak to each one of us in whatever area of life that we are in. Whether there's discomfort, whether there's a serious transition, whether there is uncertainty as to what we're supposed to do with the days that come together, or whether there is something else that is going on in our life. Heavenly Father, You know what that is. And Lord, we need You. We need You to speak and move into that situation. Because, Heavenly Father, we trust and we know that as we give our lives to You, as we prepare our hearts for You, that You are the God who often answers in ways we can't begin to imagine. You are the God that as we look back say, wow, You have moved. And so, Heavenly Father, today, whether we are in the valleys or whether you've just seen us through one, Lord, help us to indeed say, Lord, wherever we are, we're going to be faithful to You. That indeed we're going to enter into this walk of faith with You, Lord, with repentance, with commitment to You, and trust that indeed You have prepared a way, You have prepared a path, that You will make smooth the rough patches, and You will guide us along the way. So, Heavenly Father, today we turn to You, asking for Your guidance, asking for Your peace, asking for Your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. May God richly bless you as you serve Him today.